is the Hong Kong Football Podcast, coming to you from Kowloon, Hong Kong, during a week in which Hong Kong on a roll, scoring one more goal to book a place in Seoul, after a youngster from Taipo with a shot hard and low spoiled Taiwan's show, and the Greens face Dreams FC while Southern take on Kit Chi, as we're all happy to see the return of the Sapling Cup. My name, as always, is James Legg, and I'm joined, as ever, by Tobias Tusa. Hello, Toby.
Hello, James.
How's it going?
Great.
We even have a special guest this week, reporter for Offside.hk, Andy Chiu. Andy, welcome to the Hong Kong Football Podcast Studio.
Thank you for having me here, guys.
You're very welcome. And you were in Taiwan this past week to watch Hong Kong's surprise victory in the EAFF Tournament Round 2. How was your trip?
Oh, it was brilliant. It's a great week away, and Taiwan, as usual, is a very friendly place, and it's good to see the players are doing well.
Good to hear. So Gary White's men went through, not on points, not even on goal difference, but on goals scored, after they beat Mongolia 5-1 to set a good goals target for North Korea to chase. And North Korea could only beat Taiwan 2-0, meaning it is Hong Kong who head to South Korea in December next year to play the big boys of East Asia, China, Japan, and the hosts, South Korea. On the whole, Andy, looking at the three matches that you watched, how do you rate Hong Kong's tournament?
First of all, I think the first match was the crucial one. It's difficult to beat Taiwan. We got a bit lucky without the captain on board, and the players did well. So it was a good win, and then it gave a huge boost to the morale. We drew North Korea, and then when it comes to scores, and we delivered for the final match against Mongolia. So well done, guys.
Yeah, it was. It's been called a surprise win. I called it a surprise win. Toby, were you surprised?
Well, to be honest, I was still quite surprised. I think in the past, we haven't really been used to that Hong Kong really delivers when it comes down to this last decisive game, right? We were disappointed last time round against North Korea in this final decisive away match. And then Hong Kong really had to go into the last game with some kind of pressure, right? They knew that they had to score, and they had to score many. And there was an uncertainty if they are able to do this when it really comes down to this. And if you compare it, for example, to the Bhutan game at the beginning of the 2015 campaign for the World Cup, that was what I can remember the last high scoring win, right? 7-1, they beat them at home, but it was different because it was the first game of the campaign. They were like still like not under pressure. And here they had to really deliver when it came down to this, and they did. So well done. And yeah, still surprised though.
And of the three games, Andy, you alluded to a good performance against, or an important win against Taiwan in game one, Chung Wai Kung scoring the winner with about 10 minutes left. Did you think that was the best performance of the three, or was there another one that caught your eye?
It's difficult to pick just one game because I think Hong Kong did brilliantly for the three matches. The win, of course, the first win, just to boost the morale. The draw against North Korea, everyone just gave their 120%. And for the last match, we finally scored when it comes to like finishing, just as like Gary Wright has been saying all the time. So we delivered. So it's quite difficult for me to pick just one game. I'll say Hong Kong did brilliantly for the three matches.
Well, I'm used to being forced to pick something if I have to. So I would still say it was the North Korea game. I think that they really played at eye level for part of the game. They had reasonable chances to actually also win this game eventually. Xu Deshuai, I think, hit the bar after this shot was going through the hands of the North Korea goalkeeper. So they were really impressive in that game, I think. And based on their performance in that game in particular, I had more belief that they could make it eventually in the final round. And one thing that Gary White pointed out, particularly after the North Korea game, is the change in mentality, that the players were quite unhappy with the result. In the past, we can remember if Hong Kong would have drawn North Korea 0-0, 1-1, we probably would have celebrated it like a kind of mini victory. But now it felt like the players were disappointed that they have lost, right? Because they believed that they could beat them. I think that was quite inspiring, and you could see this change of mentality, and therefore also that the stronger belief that they could make it eventually against Mongolia.
And you've already asked Hong Kong coach Gary White his opinion on this, what his favorite game of the tournament was. Let's see what he had to say.
It's just difficult because the boys performed brilliantly in all three games. And obviously with the tight schedule, they showed so much courage and bravery in how we played to keep attacking. So, you know, it's easy to say the North Korea game because maybe it's the closest we've ever got to getting a victory over North Korea, because we really did pile some good pressure on and it was a really competitive end-to-end game. But I'm going to go with the Mongolia game because there's so much pressure on the players to score goals, and they delivered, and they knew that they had to get a big number to have a chance of qualifying, and they delivered. And it's never easy to score goals at international football level, so to score five in the way we did, and it could have been a lot more, I'm going to go with the Mongolia game. The boys to perform like that in the third game in such a short period of time is really a fantastic achievement. They were fantastic.
The Mongolia match was fun. The Battle of the Whites, Gary White versus Hans Weiss. Weiss, of course, being German for white. All we needed was Laurent Blanc in charge of North Korea to complete the set.
Can happen.
It could happen. Next time around, you hear the here first, listeners. But it was a very positive attitude from the side, trying to get as many goals as possible to build up a lead on the North Koreans as regards goal difference. Interesting sort of match to watch. It was successful in the end and memorable for Sandro's opener from a delightful short-range free kick. After that match, Andy, did you stay to watch North Korea versus Taiwan?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Like most of the away fans, Hong Kong and Mongolia team, they stayed for the game. And of course, I have to stay because it's crucial and I have to finish the article. So, yeah, so the atmosphere was wonderful because it's on a Friday evening. A lot of home fans came to support Taiwan. They did brilliant in the first half, 0-0. We could hear the cheering from Hong Kong fans as well. They were cheering with Taiwan. And it got very, very exciting when it comes to after the 60 minutes. So the final 35 minutes of the game, it was brilliant.
Yeah, so by this point, North Korea were 2-0 up. They needed to win 3-0 to go above Hong Kong and qualify for the next round. And so Hong Kong fans are there, you're there. The Hong Kong team and staff are all there in the stands watching this game. It must have been a strange kind of atmosphere because, you know, normally you're looking for a specific result or, one team to win, not a very specific outcome. And North Korea couldn't score any more goals as regards Hong Kong's hopes, right? And so how was the feeling?
It was a thriller. It was a thriller, definitely. I mean, North Korea, they hit the bar twice. So you can tell by the expression of the Hong Kong players, because I was sitting quite close to their stand. So I was taking pictures, videotaping. Russell was excited. I could recall he was the first one to stand up mount the Hong Kong squad. So everyone was just so nervous. Can see Gary White rubbing his hands, and yeah, it's just wonderful to watch. You don't see that very often as a reporter, and yeah, it's just wonderful.
Now, one thing I was wondering though is that how Chinese Taipei got motivated, particularly like keeping this result, right? Was there a kind of sense there that they are supporting or helping Hong Kong and the former coach to advance to the final round, like a kind of altruistic motive eventually? Because for them, it was basically about nothing, right? You are 2-0 down, why caring, right? But they still seem to really trying to keep this 2-0 for whatever is possible. And I think I wondered like if they were actually at that moment playing for Hong Kong, even maybe just subconsciously, which is very political, of course, but
greater Chinese solidarity.
Yeah, maybe. What was your impression there?
It's interesting and very impressive because I was in the post-match press conference the previous game when the head coach of Taiwan was being asked, oh, whether you guys will go all in against North Korea. It seems like the Taiwan press were aware that they still got a very tiny chance to qualify at that time. So the Taiwanese head coach responded that they will do their best for the home fans to and at least fight for that tiny 0.5%. And they truly did. I think there were like 2,000 home fans supporting for the match against North Korea, and then of course most of us football fans from Hong Kong cheering. It was just great, and I'm so glad that they did that. I would say sportsmanship, just to spoil the fun.
And of course they want the best result they can get, don't they? If they're gonna lose, they still don't want to lose by too many goals. Great overall result for Hong Kong. We also saw during the tournament the international emergence of Chung Wai Kang, Taipei's right-sided forward. He came off the bench to score the winning goal against Taiwan, as we mentioned. And he also played at right wing back against Mongolia. Toby, he might be new to some non-Taipo fans. Can you tell me a little bit about him?
Yeah, he was not on the radar for too many people, I think, in the last 2 years, but he was a regular substitute for Taipo already last year. We saw him a couple of times also in the Suplink Cup. He has also been in the Hong Kong under 23 squad for a while. And now it seems that this year in particular, actually he starts regularly for Taipo, even ahead of Lee Kai Yu sometimes. And yeah, he's very dynamic on the right side. I think he might have really the potential to become a very, very solid and maybe one of the best wingers of Hong Kong in the near future, if he continues like that.
And how do you think he did?
Well, given the first game, right, there's nothing you can really complain about. He came in, he had like 10 minutes to perform and he scored the decisive goal. So there he did very, very well. I think for the last game as well, like against Mongolia, he was very dynamic on the right side, bringing in a lot of balls into the box. So he did what he was expected to do. And so, yeah, I'm very satisfied. I think Andy also holds his performance in high regard.
So I'm very impressed by Chung's performance. He's very young, still got a lot of room for improvement. He's not scared to impress the coach and impress the fans. Especially I'm impressed by his attacking mentality. He's not giving up, he's trying very hard for every chances. Yeah, he's not scared to fight against like better players. So I'm impressed by that from a relatively young player. And as Toby has just mentioned, he was lively during the match from the right, gives a lot of crosses, look dangerous. Yeah, he has a lot of potential.
Yeah, definitely. Now, one notable change from the start of the tournament was with the captain's armband, which was worn by Huang Yang instead of the usual captain goalkeeper Yap Hung Fai. Toby, Gary White has spoken about this change a little bit. What's his interpretation of this?
Yeah, so apparently Gary White had a discussion with Yap Hung Fai before this tournament and talking with him about the possibility to give the captaincy to another player. And I think the main reason was that Gary White prefers to have a captain who is involved in the game more, right? In the center of the pitch, more or less. And also maybe taking away a little bit the pressure on Yap Hung Fai, right? He mentioned he wants him to focus on goalkeeping. Goalkeeper is a quite isolated position already, right? And already faces a lot of pressure. And I think we could see this with Yap, right? In the last years, where he also got some criticism as well. And yeah, so this was, I think, the main reasoning, the main rationale why White wanted to make this change. And I think it was accepted and welcomed by both Yap Hung Fai and Huang Yang. And yeah, what we have seen, maybe not the wrong decision.
I think one interesting thing about this tournament and about the good result for Hong Kong is how quickly it is made up for what was a relatively poor start to the new coach's tenure. There was a 1-0 home loss to Thailand. There was 1-1 draw away at Indonesia. But this, not only in terms of the mood that it spreads, but also in the basic footballing terms, it kind of makes up for all of that, right? Everyone's forgotten that there was actually two relatively forgettable performances.
Yes, definitely. Totally makes up for all that. It's difficult to comment on Gary White's performance by just judging by the first three games. But you can see he is getting his hands on the team. He's doing a great job boosting the morale, bonding with the players. You can see the players trust him just by the training and see how they did on the pitch. So as things are getting better, yeah, I have hope in him.
It's interesting you say that this was his first opportunity to really get his hands on the squad and to mold it in his image a little bit more than he had earlier with the friendlies. What are the signs, do you think, in terms of personnel or style of play that show a difference from the Kim Pang-on era?
So first of all, I think the style of training is very different. So I was in the training session in Taiwan and they can't do much because they were focusing on recovery and preparation for the Mongolia game. But all I could see is the players were getting along well. They looked happy and they looked comfortable. And by the style of play of Hong Kong is a little bit different from the previous era. But it was effective, I would say. Many people comment on Paul's performance.
This is Paul Olivier Nguyen, the centre forward, who formerly of Southern, now in mainland China.
So many people like criticizing him because he couldn't score goals, but you can see how Gary White is being supported to him. You can see he is getting better. Although he couldn't deliver by scoring goals, but he did his best on the pitch. And you can see how Gary White's influence on the players by boosting their morale, by making them believing they can actually make it.
Now, I think we still have to mention what we have, I think, discussed in the previous podcast as well, the kind of formation that Gary White prefers to play, right? This is usually four players in the back. This is a bit of a change of, I would say, the end of the Kim Pangon era, right? When he tried to jump on the bandwagon. No, that was a bit mean, but like, you know, following this trend of having like three defenders or like five people in the back in some instances. I think Gary White is very clear that he is a bit old school in that regard, right? Not really a 4-4-2, but a little bit of kind of nuance in the midfield. Huang Yang is understood more as a, of course, defending midfielder, but he's actually also rotating and helping out a lot in the central midfield, right? With Wong Wai in that situation. I think Sandro, we should point this out, a lot of people have commented that he improved a lot since he is in Indonesia. He understands his role a bit better, like falling back as a striker, right? Helping out in the midfield, delivered some of the crucial passes as well in these games. So I think that was also a notable change. And of course, right, I think the role that Paul had in the first two games was a kind of, I wouldn't call it experiment, but trying to play with a strong center forward, right? That is just there to hold the ball, maybe pick up a foul. We have actually discussed about this in the past, right? That we were needing such a person, right? I think that Paul might fit this role. He still needs to improve to really, really live up to this. But I think that was like the kind of rationale behind this as well. So these are like, I think, the most profound changes that we could observe so far.
Hey, it's only 4 years until Lucas Silva gets a passport, right? So
yeah.
One player notable by his absence from the starting lineups was Tan Chun Lok, formerly a regular starter and someone who we on this podcast in particular have talked about a lot as one of the best players in the squad and one for the future, or, you know, in the immediate future. He's not that young, and he didn't start a game. He came off the bench a couple of times. What's happened there?
Life.
I mean, I suppose the immediate answer is that we've gone from having two defensive midfielders to one, right? And Huang Yang takes that position. It used to be under Kim that you would have Huang and Tan next to each other. Since the diamond has kind of rotated now. And is that all it is? Is it just been squeezed out by numbers?
It's a good point. I think at the moment, I'm a little bit confused about Tan's role. Because what happened in the last year, even at Taipo, when you had players like Schotze and Leung Kun Chung, they were more taking up this defending midfielder role that he used to have, and he was more pushed into kind of attacking midfield as well. But even there now, I think like a lot of people pointed out that it would now be more a choice of either Wong Wai or Tan Chun Lok. And if it comes down to this in the central midfield, I still believe that Wong Wai has more this kind of experience and kind of playmaking ability, whereas Tan Chun Lok might be the right person for certain moments or certain other games. I think maybe against North Korea, it was more a kind of Tan Chun Lok game. We haven't seen him there in the starting 11. Where it would be more rough, right? And where his kind of experience of tackling no matter what would come in handy. But when it is about dominating the opponents, I believe that it would be Wong Wai that should start ahead of him. But we will see how it goes and how Tan is developing now in the mainland, as he's expected to join Guangzhou RNF next year as well.
I think it's a difficult decision to make a choice between Huang Yan and Tan Chun Lok to start, because somehow their duties are overlapping in some sense. Still, we have to point out that Tan Chun Lok is such a young player at the age of 22.
Which for Hong Kong is young. For world football is like not. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. He is, in Hong Kong terms, and especially in Hong Kong international terms, that is a young age, yeah.
Definitely. And Huang Yan is at his mid-30s, and he is definitely a very experienced player, and he is good at the holding midfielder, defensive midfielder position. I can see why Gary White is making this choice. He still decided to let Tan Chun Lok to have some minutes at the very late of the second half for both three games. So I can see that Tan is still in his plan. And actually, I suspect that Tan will take up the position of Huang Yang in the future, and his time will come.
Yeah, and it is worth pointing out, one, Huang Yang is always brilliant. and he also won the player of the tournament. So no one's questioning his place. So listeners, first of all, let me apologize for what you may be able to hear is construction noise outside here in the thick, the heart of Kowloon, Hong Kong.
Building our new studio.
Building our soundproofed studio right in the center of the Yao Chin Mong district. Hopefully they'll, I don't know, stop for lunch soon, but we'll see. So guys, what's next for Hong Kong national team? What are the next games coming up?
So what we've heard so far, the next games will be in March. We will have one home game, most likely against India, and then another away game, which is not yet confirmed, but I think we will have the date soon. But then I think what comes really, really next is, and you know, at the Hong Kong Football Podcast, we're very easily excitable about things. We still need to realize that we are at the East Asian Cup Finals next December in South Korea. Will be very cold, of course. So it's not the most ideal of times. It will be between like December 10th and December 18th. And as I've mentioned, easily excitable because the last time Hong Kong has been there is 2010. And I think in the history of the East Asian Cup, Hong Kong was just there like three times. So it's kind of a big deal. And if we don't have Asian Cup that we can be excited about, if we don't have the World Cup that we can be excited about, at least we have now something to be excited about.
I agree. That is definitely a big deal. The only problem is that it's so far away. It's more than a year away. But yeah, of course, that is going to be big. I'm already looking at it. I assume it's in Seoul. That I just kind of guessed. We don't know. We know it's in South Korea.
Maybe it ends up somewhere in Ulsan. And then game days on Tuesday, Friday and Monday, and very fan-friendly.
And so just for anyone who needs the background, the chances are that China, Japan, South Korea won't field full-strength A teams in this tournament, will they?
Yeah, that's a bit of a myth, apparently. Like, I've talked with one of our other editors before, our Korean expert, Christy Leung, and she basically says that Korea is usually going for it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they might field a strong team. Japan is also known to want to get something out of it. And China is also more motivated to bring in a stronger team as well. Particularly if it's in December, it's easy for them to arrange now. They don't have league games anymore and they have a reason to call in the teams for national team squad training. So we could actually see quite strong teams as well there. So we maybe shouldn't get too excited about finishing not last.
We could be the Mongolia of that group. Although, in fairness to Mongolia, the only team to score in all of their games.
Yes, that's an interesting trivia, right?
Every other team drew a blank at least once. So, fair play to the guys from the north.
The Hong Kong Football Podcast comes out every 2 weeks, dropping on each second Wednesday. Make sure you never miss our latest show by subscribing on iTunes, SoundCloud, Podcast Addict, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Okay, so listener, by the time you hear this podcast, you'll probably be aware of the result between Kitchy and RNF in that big rescheduled match that is happening on Wednesday night. And we talked about it in the last episode, so feel free if you want to go and hear all about that. And after that, it's the return of the Sapling Cup.
Yes!
Woo! The first group games kick off at the weekend. Saturday's matches aren't all that interesting because it's Taipo versus Dreams and Pegasus versus Hoi King. I think there will be two home wins there. Though, these are technically at neutral venues, but you know what I mean.
Technically, right? Because Taipo plays at Taipo Sports Ground.
Yeah, which I think is a wild advantage that they get. But Sunday has a couple of intriguing matchups. That day, Southern will play Kitchy at Hammer Hill Sports Ground.
Hammer Hill, long time no see.
Yeah, home of the best cart noodles in Hong Kong. Southern still injury hit and seem to have lost a little bit of steam since flying to the top of the table early doors, but still have quality in the side. And Kitchy, the holders of the Sapling Cup, of course, and still intent on winning every trophy that they can. Kitchy, of course, we talked a lot about their early start, which is a bit wobbly. They've won since then against, was it Hoi King? Isn't the biggest achievement. Which way will this match go, Toby?
Well, we'll come down to the Saplings, I believe. I'm not really sure like who Kitchy is going to field in that situation. Probably Cheng Jinlong.
Can you remind listeners of the rules since we're starting again?
Oh, the rules of the Sapling Cup. So Sapling Cup, basically referring to the saplings, the young, unnurtured plants of Hong Kong football that are still out there to grow into full trees. So in actual terms, that means then that the teams need to field two under 22 players that are born on January 1st, 1997 or after. So actually a lot of the players we've seen in recent years don't qualify anymore. Right?
Lau Hock Ming
comes to mind. Tan Chun Lok, I believe. So yeah, we will see maybe quite some new faces as well. Or we are forced to see new faces. And yeah, it will come down to this, who Kichi or Salvan might find in their squad that fulfills these rules.
Kichi, you've probably got Cheng Chin Long.
Certainly, yes.
I can't really think of anyone else. I mean, they've loaned out a lot of their younger non-Chinese players. We'll see. It's a decision for the coaches, not for us. Anyway, who's going to win the game?
I'm going for a draw. Why not?
It's a group game. Why
yeah,
not?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What about you, Andy? Quick prediction, Kichi or Salvan?
It's quite hard. I'll say Kichi win by 2-1.
That's much better than Toby being on the fence anyway. So later that day at 5:30 p.m. Qingyi Sports Ground, we have current league leaders Eastern against RNF. Now, this is a rerun of the very hot-tempered match these sides had on the opening day, and which Eastern won 3-2 in the most dramatic of circumstances. 2 goals in the dying minutes. I think the question on everyone's lips here is, can RNF coach Yeung Ching Kwong finally play a match against his former club without getting sent to the stands?
Exactly. This was the first question that came into my mind as well. And I don't think so. Qingyi Sports Ground is a place where you tend to become quite aggressive because you have to run quite a long way to the pitch. Like you feel quite isolated there and you have to shout quite loud to the players. And I think we will see him again walking to the stands.
Now, both of these teams have been talked about as title contenders or at least top three botherers. But even given their weak start to the campaign, Kichi are still the league title favourites. RNF are already looking like they've dropped off, depending on what happens in that match against Kichi. Do you think either club will be looking to win something like the Sapling Cup or the Senior Shield to get their hands on some silverware?
Yeah, that's a good point. But I believe that for Eastern, they should aim higher. I think for them, the league title or Senior Shield will have a bigger priority than the Sapling Cup. Sapling Cup might be a kind of last remedy if everything else goes wrong. For RNF, it's a bit strange because they don't really have an own youth production at the moment, right? They outsourced it. They will have to use some of these players to play in these games. And I'm not sure if they have really the quality to make them a kind of title contender for the Sapling Cup, but it would be certainly something that they could aim for or should aim for in the long run to improve the possibilities to get silverware.
And who for Eastern? Does Wang Jiho, does he still count?
I think Yun Ji Nam is able to play. He's just like 20 or 19, as I recall.
This is the guy who was called into Gary White's first Hong Kong squad?
Yes.
On a little bit of a last minute, I don't want to say whim, but on a moment of inspiration.
Yeah.
And also I can confirm that Wang Jiho is actually 24. They grow up so fast these days.
Oh. Forever young.
Okay, so I think this is going to be a very interesting game. Big week for RNF in terms of playing Kichi and Eastern. Who is going to win? I have been impressed with Eastern so far this season, and so I would be leaning in that direction.
Me too. Andy?
Do we have a full house or?
Maybe.
Oh, Andy, I had such high hopes after Toby was sitting on the fence and you came in with that decisive 2-1, and now you guys are messing with me. Okay, well, there are some league matches before you hear from us next, listeners, and I see at least 3 very tasty encounters on the fixture list. Toby, which one catches your eye this coming weekend?
Yeah, of course, what's most exciting for me should be the Taipo Eastern game, actually Eastern Taipo game at Hong Kong Stadium, December 2nd. Should be a big one.
Well, Taipo let themselves down a couple of times, didn't they, with a couple of draws, which maybe should have been wins.
Right, but then remedied themselves against Kichi with a 2-2 draw, and then, of course, the big win against RNF.
Can they carry that on into this game against league leaders Eastern?
Certainly will be tough, I believe. Eastern have such a good run as of recent. I still think that, you know, we have mentioned it quite a bit already, but Chen Yunting really did a good job in putting a team together that I see as the biggest title challenger at the moment. And yeah, Taipo will have their fair chances, but yeah, still for me, the favorites will be Eastern to win this game, particularly on their home ground now, Hong Kong Stadium. It's a bit of a broader pitch. And yeah, I believe that Eastern eventually will make it. So what's your favorite game of that weekend?
For me, it is third place Pegasus going away to Kitchee. Pegasus lost their coach at the start of the season. They had the new coach. He left. And somehow they're still third in the league. They've played 6, won 3, drawn 1, lost 2. But the squad is more or less intact and they look as good as they were last season. In fact, they've got a few more options in terms of goal scoring as well. So that's good news for them. People like Walter Jr. and Sasaki Shu. However, I do think the Kitchee are starting to get things back together. They did seem to benefit from the return of Christian Vadoch, of course. I don't know if Helio is back from injury yet. Do we have any news on that?
Not that I know of.
However, I think nonetheless, this could be a game for Kitchee to... I mean, they really can't afford to drop many more points, actually. So they need to win it, but I think it's going to be tough.
Right. And listeners, here you can hear the main difference between me and James. Like, I'm choosing a game that will be broadcast live for free on the stream. And James is choosing the pay-per-view game of Kitchee, which is around 50 Hong Kong dollars. So yeah, I'm always having the concern of the public in mind when I'm featuring my most favorite games.
I'm all about Hong Kong's elite. I'll be there in a penthouse apartment on the peak with Lee Ka-shing watching this game on his MacBook Pro. I can't imagine he doesn't watch things on television.
Yeah, Boris still will ask you to use your own credit card, right? So maybe, Andy, do you have also a favorite game of the weekend?
I'll pick the Eastern versus Taipei for the sake of Hong Kong national team. Really interested to see how the players are going after the trip from Taiwan. I think they earn a lot of experience. It's quite a challenge to play 3 games within 6 days. And mentally, I think they improved a lot. And let's see if they can show it in the league games.
That is interesting. And it will be worth keeping an eye out for the players who have just had 2 weeks off versus the players who had to play 3 games in 6 days, definitely. One of the game that catches the eye is RNF versus Yuen Long. That is 6th versus 7th. Yuen Long have defied expectations so far. I think no one really had much down for them at the start of the season. And of course, they are still only 7th, but they look good. I mean, Toby, you've addressed that they do look like a really solid outfit under Kenneth Kwok. And it's actually very tight. 3rd to 7th is separated by 2 points. So there's still a lot of teams in the mix there. And there's a big difference, isn't there? Finishing 3rd and finishing 7th. So that's something to keep an eye out for as well.
And to bring back a little bit of the Hong Kong football nerd vibe as well, let's not forget there's a big game in Division 1 coming up as well.
Of course, in Division 1 at 8:30 on Saturday at Hong Kong Football Club, the club will take on Happy Valley. A top of the table clash between they're both very historic clubs, but Happy Valley, who were one of the biggest teams in Hong Kong during the 60s and 70s, dropped off over the intervening decades. You know, they went down to Division 2, they've come up, they are now leading Division 1, they look really good, they're scoring lots of goals. They've got quite a few players who were in the Premier League last season, like Igor Mijovic, and is Lee Chi-ho, is he still there? I think so. And they've got that guy, whose name I can't pronounce, who's scoring lots of goals. M-U-J-E-C-I is how you spell it. Mujesi? Well, I'll ask him one day. And yeah, they're taking on the Hong Kong Football Club, who are the traditional big boys in Division 1. But they are coming off the back of a loss to Wing Yi Property. I think they went down 1-0. The side of Ditinho, of course, Hong Kong football legend. And they need this. They need to be Happy Valley to reassert their position at the top of the Division 1. It looks like a Division 1 match which will get quite a bit of following for once, which isn't normally the case.
Yeah, I think the Happy Valley crowd will come out for this one. You occasionally saw them in the past when they even played in Division 2 against South China, of course. It's a very big game. But yeah, I think we will see some of them. And it's almost a derby, no? It's like a kind of Happy Valley derby between HKFC and Happy Valley. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, I'm quite excited. I'll be there. Will you be there, Toby?
Should be. Andy, will you be there as well?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, you couldn't see that, listeners, but he looked pretty reluctant. The other two games that we didn't mention in the Premier League are Leman versus Southern and Dreams FC versus Hoi King. That last one could be a basement battle to see who finishes bottom of the league this season. Dreams, we have mentioned, are approaching the first anniversary of their last league win. This could be their chance to avoid going a whole year without the league win.
That's true, yes. Exciting game indeed.
Okay, I think that's the sound of us scraping the bottom of the barrel in the Hong Kong Premier League. So that's everything for this edition of the Hong Kong Football Podcast. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the football. Hope your team wins. Andy, thank you very much for joining us this week. We hope we can see you again.
Thank you.
Toby, thank you for joining me, as always.
My pleasure.
Listeners, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hong Kong. That's a place for you.